The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Today.
Tickets for next year's two Oasis concerts at Croke Park sold out on Saturday and left thousands of fans frustrated and disappointed and weeping beside their laptop. I wasn't weeping, but I was on the laptop and I was 353rd, 1852nd in the queue. I couldn't believe it. I didn't even know that there were that amount of people out there trying to buy them. But once again, much of the chat throughout the weekend was about the Ticketmaster website crashing. Long queues, dynamic pricing. Never heard these words before, some of them, and when fans eventually got the chance to purchase tickets. So have concert experiences been ruined due to issues such as these? I'm delighted to be joined in studio by Dave Hanratty, host of the No Encore podcast. Hi, Dave.
Good afternoon.
And I'm joined on the line as well by Andy O'Donoghue, tech journalist. Hi, Andy.
Hi, Mario.
Oh, boy, you sound amazing. That's great. That's brilliant. Listen, what happened with the Ticketmaster website crashing? Why is it crashing? And what happens in these moments that, what, a million of us go online at the same time, is it?
It is hard to explain what happens, Mario, to be honest, in the sense that why did it crash? We don't know. We know that, you know, the dynamic pricing, the number of people in the queue, the pre-approval, people would have had to log in. It's a complicated process selling a ticket online because somebody's got to sign into an account. They have to get in the queue. Then you give them a window to buy that ticket and they have to select a ticket and they have to pay for it. But there are lots of variations of that along the way. For instance, different pricing, also different seat numbers. And so it is easy to say, I suppose, that, okay, with a million people there, should we have technology that can handle that okay? Well, the answer is actually we do have it and it shouldn't really happen. People could have mitigated, I think. There was quite a bit of speculation online that using the app was the Ticketmaster app is a better plan rather than using a desktop browser. Then, of course, you have the problem where people open multiple browsers and they're trying to, kind of join two places in the queue. So there was a lot going on, but it is somewhat inexplicable from a technology perspective.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. I mean, the expression, the website crashed, I mean, we still say that, but really, that's no excuse anymore. I mean, that's something that you would have heard in 2002. Should websites be crashing anymore with the extensive computer power that we're supposed to have?
Well, it's a great point, Mario. I mean,
I made a good point in relation to technology. Go on.
We've talked about nothing but artificial intelligence for the last year. We're worried about them stealing our jobs, and you can't buy a ticket properly online. It kind of sounds ridiculous in the technology world, doesn't it? I think what's interesting about this is that Ticketmaster they've been around for, what, 40 years. Their software was originally designed back in the 70s, used to run on an old digital equipment computer. And they've spent an enormous amount of money transitioning to new systems, and they have an enormous amount of systems. I mean, I think there are a couple of dozen ticket systems themselves and then about 200 other systems that support the Ticketmaster network. And when you, by comparison, look at a company like Apple, another technology company, as we know, but on Christmas Day, Apple could have a billion events on their websites. Most of that is people using iTunes vouchers to buy stuff or activating new phones. And you think, okay, if Apple can handle a billion events on Christmas Day, why can't Ticketmaster put me in a proper queue, give me a chance to buy my ticket, and perhaps at a more reasonable cost?
Dave, what's dynamic pricing and why is everybody getting so upset about it?
Because it takes an awful lot of money in order to go to the party, effectively. So this is, it's gouging. Like, it's exactly what it is. Dynamic pricing, and the phrase that was used as well with these tickets was the in-demand ticket, which just means general admission, by the way. There's no shiny attachment to that. It's been around for a few years in the US, and it's kind of slowly creeping its way around the world. And what it means is, essentially, is you have a product, there's enough demand out there for people who want it, and at the end of the day, they will have to fight it out. And highest bidder wins, essentially. So gone are the days, in these cases, of just like a capped, this is as much as it will cost you, no more than that, maybe a couple of booking fees, whatever. But now this is a case of just like every man for himself. It's a free-for-all. And there seems to be no ceiling where it can go. So some of these tickets, which were originally advertised, is from $86.50. And again, the word from there is doing a lot of heavy lifting because, of course, there are tiered, you know, whether you're standing in Croke Park, whether you're sitting in the nosebleeds, whatever, it's going to cost you more or less. But in this case, a standard ticket to get in has ended up costing some people over €400, over €500. I saw some stuff in the UK there, close to £2,000. So they're experiencing it as well. I guess it's kind of a byproduct of the fact that this is a monopoly. Live Nation owns Ticketmaster, and they own MCD as well. So it's all kind of one big machine that runs itself. There's not much you can do in the way of regulation, or at least it seems that way. Ireland has been trying for a while to try and stamp out secondary ticket marketing and that kind of stuff. Can they step in now? I know the Tánaiste has made noise, as have some other people in politics. But it's a bit late now. The horse is bolted here, and people have spent a ton of money that they didn't think they were going to spend.
What about the boys themselves? Boys, okay, they're both over 50, but what do we think of them as boys? The squabbling, you know, siblings. But what about them? Are they complicit?
They are complicit, yeah. I mean,
if they said, you know, no dynamic pricing,
I would run away because I'd be frightened by that for a start. It's a bit aggressive, but yeah, they had the chance. They could have stepped in and said no. Now, we weren't in the room. We didn't see what contracts were signed. We don't know how much attention they were paying, and the management, I presume, is handling a lot of this for them. The lawyers, etc., etc. But the artist and the promoter are the ones who decide whether dynamic pricing is put into effect or not. It's not Ticketmaster. Ticketmaster is the facilitator. It's a machine. It's a device. You can get mad at it for crashing, all kinds of reasons, and it, you know, there's lots to question there. But it's not someone at Ticketmaster, you know, kind of rubbing their hands together. It's Liam and Noel. They made the call.
Yeah.
Or at least it was put to them and they said, go ahead and do it. That's fine with us.
You know?
This is a case of a band who are going to squeeze every single cent imaginable for this. Most reunion tours are nostalgia-focused cash grabs. Why shouldn't this one be? But this one feels particularly predatory because you've got a band who once were working class and kind of sold themselves in that image. Those days are long gone anyway. They're still touring. They're still making millions and millions anyway. But this feels like beyond greedy. It feels like a new level of greed. You're squeezing your hardcore fans, and there are hardcore Oasis fans, and I've heard them, and they've said it's not Liam and Noel. They have nothing to do with this. They're innocent. Yeah. I'm sorry, but they're not innocent in this situation.
They're pissing in their chips, if you'll forgive the term. But I also saw an interview with, would you believe, Ed Sheeran, and he has, you know, forbidden this kind of behaviour at the pricing for his concerts. Mm-hmm. Robert Smith from The Cure.
The Cure as well, yeah. Paul Heaton of The Beautiful Sex.
Paul Heaton has been big in the last couple of days about this. And the guy in the lead, this lead singer, The Charlatans, Burgess.
Tim Burgess.
Tim Burgess, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there you go. It can be done. Now, Ed Sheeran, of course, has, you know, the I guess, gross domestic product of a national country like in his bank, so it's fine. But it does require an artist to step up and say, no, I'm not going to overcharge for merch. I'm not going to overcharge for tickets. I understand that we're in a cost of living crisis. I understand that they've got young fans, impressionable fans, and I'm putting a lot of money. You know, their parents are under a lot of pressure. And think about people who got to the end of the queue in the Oasis thing. And as you said, you know, you were number 300,000, whatever. I saw screenshots of 500,000. There was 800,000 people. 800,000 into two nights at Croke Park does not go. No. There was always going to be people left out here. But think about if you promised someone, like your partner, your brother, whatever, you get to the end of the queue and all of a sudden the tickets that you thought were going to cost you €100 or so are now costing you €450 and the clock is ticking down. What are you going to do?
Andy, are Ticketmaster ruining the ticket experience, and is there any other way that it could be done?
It's not a good ticket experience, and it's been a really bad year, I suppose, from a technology perspective for Ticketmaster. Back in May, I think, or second around June, they confirmed the hack, which affected 560 million users. Back in May, the Justice Department in the US sued Live Nation Ticketmaster for monopolizing the live concert industry. So, where do you go? What do you do next? Mario, the simple answer is that, and Dave made reference to the in-demand ticket. The thing is, we don't know how much of a real demand that is. If you have 100,000 people trying to buy 20,000 tickets, well, there's only 20,000 tickets. So 80 is kind of irrelevant to the total availability. And this in-demand pricing, I can't see it lasting. But the simple answer to this would be if Ticketmaster did not have an exclusive arrangement to sell tickets for the venue and for the gig in this case. So why not have multiple ticket suppliers, and we will get a better mix of seats and experience and pricing.
So you're saying, in effect, it's an unfair monopoly?
Well, because if you push everybody into the same bottleneck, there can only be demand, and therefore demand pricing becomes a problem. If we have multiple suppliers people offering lower fees, they'll sell out first, and then only afterwards would the more expensive tickets sell. So it does seem like a logical way. Monopolies online, and that's how, you know, everybody wants us to buy tickets online. They don't want to print tickets anymore. But monopolies online are a really bad thing because there are a lot of people who can do it really well.
Dave?
Yeah, it's a case of, you know, everything you said there is absolutely correct, but like, and it's a lovely idea, but it's unfortunately it's a naive state of affairs because it's a utopia. Not going to happen. Businessman makes money. That's what this is. This is business. And nothing illegal was done here. I know there are people who are saying maybe false advertising can be brought forward, but it does seem like the CPCC already has kind of said, well, you know, like, you knew what you were buying, it was in front of you, you pressed the green button, go ahead. So therefore, like, it's not a case of like, oh no, I've been completely swindled here, but you have been in a different way. You've been gouged unfairly, in my opinion, and the opinion of many, many others. So I don't see why a business person is suddenly going to wake up tomorrow and have a conscience about this. Like, it's not an altruistic gesture. You're there to make money as much as possible, and they're going to.
It's a shame. It spoiled the whole thing somewhat. And it's even on Gift Grub now. So tomorrow morning at 8:15, an exclusive Oasis Gift Grub for your delectation. Andy O'Donoghue, tech journalist. Dave Hanratty, host of the No Encore podcast. Thank you very much.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.